so sorry. Hello, everyone. Good morning. Nothing like a fun mic to get your attention. Please do grab a seat. There are seats now, more seats available. Well, maybe there's a few more seats available. Thank you so much, everyone who's been joining us, stood at the back. It's been amazing to all squeeze in together and celebrate this morning and gather. Allow me to add my welcome to you this morning. For those of you especially joining us, the family and friends of our baptized to be. I'm JP, one of the leaders here at Grace, and it's been my joy and privilege to walk so closely with the youth, many of who are here today. And just want to say thank you so much for sharing your testimonies with us just now. What a privilege, and it's just been wonderful. Now, I'm not going to be here for ages. I'd just love to take a few minutes before we move on to a time of singing and celebration for us to consider what it is that we're doing in this moment. Why is this a special day for us and for those being baptized? What's the value and significance of being plunged in a frigid sea? Albeit on a glorious spring day. I was kind of banking on yesterday's weather, but we'll go with what we've got. And I think there can be no doubt looking around us together today that spring has finally sprung. We made it through the winter of all the storms and the rain. Outside, there's fresh leaves on the trees, bluebells peeping out in the woods, and lambs skipping about in the fields. This is such a season of new life. I love spring. It's just wonderful. But even more so today, for you who are being baptized, this is a season of new life. For just as a spring flower breaks open in blossom and blooms for all to see and delight in, we too have that joy of seeing this new faith in you, in Hattie, Minnie, Joel, Jonathan, Eleanor, Casey, Queenie, Will, Sim, and Jenny's lives. Today is a moment of celebration of new life. Because baptism is this outward expression and declaration of an inner work of faith that God has brought about in your lives. And as we've heard so powerfully and seen in so many different ways, each and every one of you has your own story, which is wonderful, of God taking root in your lives. And you're here taking that response and an answer in obedience to take up that call of faith to live a life in Jesus. And not only is baptism this external sign of a beautiful internal work that God's been doing in you, it's also deeply symbolic of what it means to accept and follow Jesus. And as we head out towards the sea and plunge you under the icy waters of the Atlantic, we display that deeper reality, don't we, of your death. That is the death of your old life, your death to sin. And as you emerge dripping and gasping, you do so as ones now clean and washed and presented before God as holy and blameless before God. As one now who's been brought from death to new life and a life that is lived in Jesus. As we've been saying, the old is gone, the new has begun. For to enter into baptism is to enter into the Easter story, the very heart of the Christian story. And that is that God himself came to reconcile us. That is to make right again the brokenness of the world and the brokenness of our relationship with him. In dying on the cross, Jesus dealt with all the mess and all the debt of sin in our lives and all the shame. And in him being raised to life from the dead, he then made a way for us through death to have a new life with him. And that not only that we have freedom of sin, but also we be restored to him in a loving relationship as his dearly beloved children. See, to follow Jesus and live out this new life he offers is to live every day as a Christian in the light of Easter, and to do so in that very same resurrection power that rose Jesus from the grave. For faith can be described as being more like an acorn than like a cream egg. Stay with me here, for those you can't see. See, the treasure of this new life that Jesus offers is not simply a tasty morsel that we consume once a year or once and then move on, but rather the enormity and the eternal reality of Christ's death and resurrection is a treasure that we grow deeper and deeper in our understanding, in our love and our experience of. Like an acorn of new faith that sprouted in deep, rich soil, We have a lifetime. No, we have an eternity ahead of us of continuing in that joy, of beholding just how deep and wide and long is God's love for us, and just how powerful is the victory over sin and death that he's won for us on the cross. And this is the foundational truth, the center of the Christian life. For the Christian life is one where we daily come back to the cross, to that reality of Jesus' death and resurrection, and our participation in it. Now, since Easter, we've been looking into Paul's letter to the Colossians, and Paul writing roughly around AD 60 to a young church in the Roman city of Colossae, which is now somewhere in modern-day Turkey. I've never been there. But Paul here is writing from prison, and he writes earnestly, wanting to remind them of this very truth, saying, continue to live your lives in him, being rooted, being built up in him. And you're speaking from a place knowing full well the personal cost of his faith. That's why he's been wrapped up in prison for being a Christian. Paul now seeks to strengthen and encourage these new believers, that just as they have begun in strength, they would continue with these marvelous words. If you've got a Bible, join me. If not, this is the text on the screen that we're just going to dig into a little bit. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts and minds on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, in an ever-changing world of war, famine, plague, persecution, conflict, and suffering, the hope of a new life in Jesus and his glorious return, this is the unmovable rock that we need in our souls. And we've heard that so beautifully from you this morning. This is the new foundation you found, this immovable rock to build your lives upon. And that's the same, whether you're in AD 60 for the Colossians in the Roman Empire, or for us here in AD 2026 in Cornwall. We need to come to Jesus, that sure foundation we know that we can build our lives upon. The one in whom, as Paul writes, by faith we've been raised from the dead. For we've died to our old lives. We, as people who were once alienated from God, destined to remain cut off from him, the very source of all life, we now find our new life in Jesus. For both our present joy and future hope of glory are caught up in him. And as difficult as life may become, or as tempting as it might be to fall back into living as you were before, Paul wants to remind us, wants to remind you, that we need to remember every day as a follower of Jesus. You died. The old is gone. And don't let the passing things of this earth consume your life, your time, your devotion. Look instead to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. These words here, set your hearts and minds on God, on things above. Don't let anything else steal your affection and your attention. Now, we know that us, for the daily pressures of life, do not involve a Roman Empire out to persecute us and lock us up. But rather, we live in a time of such hostility and an era of, as we would call it, mass distraction. There's the constant war around you for your attention. In the news and adverts, the influencers, podcasters, TikTok, YouTube, you name it. All of culture around us, the whole world seems to be screaming at us unendingly, demanding our attention, our devotion, our time, our money, our very lives. And yet, in this place of chaos and confusion and noise, every day I find I need to come back to this truth, to hear these words again and again. For you died. Your old life is now hidden with Christ in God. Remember, folks, we're called to have faith that looks like an acorn, not a cream egg. A faith that is living and growing, that puts down deep roots as God's power by his Spirit enables us to grow and mature. Rather than a faith that's just for Easter time, a delight that we take on and off the shelf of life that is only relevant some of the time, a faith of convenience and comfort. Well, we all know a faith with shallow roots cannot endure the strong storms of life or the harsh winds of persecution. We need a faith that grows and matures. And so the call to follow Jesus is not an abstract act of the mind. It's not a decision of just purely logic. And we've seen that today, haven't we, in you, in your testimonies. But neither is it just simply an impulse of emotion, of just getting carried away in the hype of the moment. But it's the unity of both heart and mind that has brought you to this point and today, and that will continue on. Therefore, take your whole self. God wants your whole self to be placed on that sure foundation of Jesus, on his death and resurrection, and the new life that you found in him. For it's by looking upwards to the glory of the Son and the radiant hope of the future with him that God matures and grows us to be more like him. He transforms us, little by little, more by more, into his very likeness. It's by his power that he brings this life, and he puts to death the sin in your life, and he will bring new life. And remember, just as every plant lifts its leaves to the radiance of the warm morning sunshine, you too daily need that sunshine of God's love to warm your hearts and captivate your minds. And so, dear friends, whether you've been following Jesus for days or decades, our prayer for you is that you would let the roots of your new life in Jesus grow deep. Grow deep into the awesome truth of your death and resurrection in Jesus, and set both your heart and mind on him in your full devotion. Not being consumed or distracted with the passing things of the world, but looking ahead to Jesus Christ and his coming in glory. The fulfillment of your hope and joy to him who is your very life. Now, as we move on with Becky and the band leading us in a time of praise and response, perhaps for you today is the first time that you've heard some of this message of hope, of an offer of new life in Jesus. And if you'd love to hear more about that or take another step in faith towards that, please do come chat with us. And we'd love to talk to you about that. You can use the Get Connected card, or equally, come join us again next Sunday. I can't guarantee a seat, but I can definitely guarantee a warm welcome. And perhaps maybe God stirs something else in your heart today. Maybe a conviction of faith that actually looks more like a cream egg than a thriving oak tree. And if that's you, dear friend, I just invite you now, come to the cross, come to Jesus as we respond in prayer. Lift up your eyes to him and know that your dear, loving Heavenly Father is here for you. And let the beauty and the truth of his love for you and the victory that Jesus has won over the cross, over all the sin and death in your life, just know that freedom as you lift your heart and mind to him once more. And so, Hattie, Joel, Jonathan, Minnie, Casey, Queenie, Sim, Sam, not Sam, Sim, who have I forgotten? Will, Jenny, Eleanor, oh my goodness. See, I wrote it down, I thought, I don't want to be looking at my paper, I want to be looking at you, and then I lost my place. But on this most special of days, I'd say to you, hold fast to these truths and continue on in your faith and your life as you've begun. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And our prayer for you today will be the same as Paul's was to the Colossians. They would ask that God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.